Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also editor of the Mark to Market website, which I will post a link to below. Now, Mark, we need to talk about the inflation data. The CPI number came in today, 0.3 more than expected. It was up 1% month over month. The key aspect is that headline inflation still up 8.6%. Inflation, while it might be topping, it does not show much signs of coming down. Some of the aspects inside this CPI number, actually quite terrifying. Airline fares year over year up 38%. Hotel prices year over year up 20%. And of course, energy, boy oh boy, energy just continues to drive higher inflation. Mark, what was your takeaway from, again, this higher than expected inflation and big picture, inflation not seeming to come down to any significant degree?
Yeah, no, you're right. And even that slippage we had in the core rate, right, which excludes food and energy, was hardly sufficient to move anybody's dial, especially in light of that huge headline number. And that's an important point, I think, is that many people, including myself, thought that the base effect, which is the big jumps from last year, would drop out of the index. And we'd have that would lower the year-over-year rate. But instead, partly due to energy, partly due to food, partly due to the knock-on effects that those things filter into the other items, that you're seeing inflation. I mean, you know, last month people thought inflation might have peaked. So in fairness, Yellen and Powell pushed against those views that inflation had peaked. But I think this is a shock to the market. And what this means, the takeaway, is that this is just going to have, the Federal Reserve is just going to have to be more hawkish. And what that means, like specifically, is that we know, I think the market feels very confident that the Fed's going to go 50 basis points next week. But then we've got the July and September meetings. In July, the Fed seemed to have committed themselves to 50 basis points, but the market right now is pricing in about a 50% chance of a 75 basis point hike. September, same kind of story. Market's pricing in fully 50 basis points with about a 50% chance of that 75 basis point hike. So we have to go really to November, and there the market is solidly at 50 basis points. So we've got the June, July, September, and November. That's 200 basis points, and that's without them going 75. So I think that this is it's a serious development. You see what's going on with how it rallies the dollar, how you can see also how it hits the emerging markets particularly hard, as well as the stock markets.
Well, Mark, it's an interesting pickle that the central bank finds himself in, because with inflation this high and with it not having that base effect you mentioned, with it not starting to temper down, even if they do these 50 or even 75 basis point hikes, they're still going to have negative real rates, inflation adjusted rates. And they're still, again, starting from so far behind the curve that it seems like there was only two outcomes that could happen. But you presented a third outcome, one outcome being that, of course, we could have a recession where the markets get hit if they keep raising these rates and a slowdown in growth. We could have stagflation if the inflation stays high, growth slows, and it starts affecting, you know, economic situations where companies have to start laying people off. But you presented a third path, so I'd love to hear the third path.
Yeah, and it's not that I have a lot of confidence in it, but I think that it's a view that still hasn't completely shaken. And you see this coming from officials more than the private sector right now, and that is that there could be a soft landing. And what would that soft landing look like? Well, first, as you say, the economy is going to slow down, and we see this with the University of Michigan. The preliminary look at the consumer confidence for June fell to 50 from 58. It doesn't sound like a big move, but this is lower than it was when COVID first broke. It's back to levels last seen during the Great Financial Crisis. So the idea is for the soft landing is something like this. Central banks, in fact, just the Federal Reserve, because we had two central banks, Poland and Chile, hiked by 75 this past week. We've got RBA hiked more than expected. The ECB has taken a more hawkish stance and held open the possibility of 50 basis points in September after 25 next month. So with all the central banks tightening, many of the central banks, even aside, say, Japan and Switzerland, raising rates, that the idea is that they'll keep raising rates until they break something. And when will they break something? Well, maybe that consumer confidence is like that canary in a coal mine. Not enough to get the Fed to stop, but telling us that, the Fed is close to breaking something. And I think all it's going to take is one very weak jobs report in the U.S. And I think then the market would reach a peak. So the Fed hike peak, and I think that's when we can see the dollar pull back again.
So, Mark, you are right. Central banks really around the world are stepping up their rate hikes. Some are starting their rate hikes right now, too. But then it all ties into market weakness, right? We're seeing markets broadly right now down at least 2.5%. You look at the NASDAQ, that's down 3.5%. Is that ever going to affect the Fed? They've even told us that they're okay with some market weakness, but right now, yields jumping, actually gold's jumping too, but market weakness, that's the real story. We're going to end this week again on the back foot for markets.
Yeah, so, I mean, isn't this is the point of it all, right? That the Federal Reserve and like other central banks, in effect, are tightening financial conditions. They want the economy to slow down and how to do that. So like Powell would argue that monetary policy works through changes in the financial conditions. So stock market, the bias then in tightening financial conditions means weaker stocks. It means higher yields. And I think that is where the focus is really at. It means also probably a weaker house prices. And I think that's where the challenge is. I think that's where why people say things like don't fight the Fed. The Fed is trying to tighten financial conditions. Stock market falling is part of that tightening of financial conditions. I don't think that the stock market alone is enough to get the Fed to change its course. Not at these levels, not yet. But Powell has stressed that that this idea of a Fed put was always a misnomer in the first place. They don't just focus on the stock market. They focus on broader, tighter financial conditions. And those broader, tighter financial conditions, we're seeing the U.S. two-year yield approach 3%. So it partly now brings back into the focus, where do you think the terminal rate for Fed funds is going to be? That'll tell us the pressure that's going to continue to bear on the market. But remember, the markets are anticipatory in nature. Very weak economy 2020, strong stocks because they anticipated the stimulus. Similarly, the market's going to anticipate the Fed being done with raising rates long before they get done. Think about it. From September last year when the Fed's rhetoric changed, until March, when they finally raised interest rates, the two-year note yield rose about 100 basis points. So what's going on right now is the market saying, well, maybe the peak Fed funds rate is not 3 to 3.25 like we previously thought. Maybe it's back closer to 3.75. But that is just about getting priced in. And so that's why I'd be watching this, the next sort of batch of economic data that we get next week. Besides the Fed meeting, we get retail sales, industrial production, other things that will help economists fine-tune Q2 GDP forecast. And the Atlanta Fed's its GDP tracker now is less than 1%.
Yeah, Mark, their GDP tracker has actually been falling throughout the month. It was up around 1.5, then 1.3, then 1.2, and now it's down to 1%. So we are starting to see even the estimates for Q2 growth slowing a little bit. But there's one other element we should talk about, and that is the consumer. The Fed is trying to affect the demand side of things by hitting the wealth effect, the markets, the house prices, and hopefully that will slow down the demand. But so far, the consumers have been pretty robust. You made some pretty good points before we started recording about why that's robust, though. So would you walk through why you think that there is a health? Why are the consumers still spending, Mark?
Yeah, so sure. So the first thing to recognize is what's the key to consumption? It's like you say, it's the wealth effect, two components, what you own and what you're bringing in. What you're bringing in is your income, jobs. And the U.S. job creation this year is only slightly less than last year. We're talking about over 2 million jobs in the U.S. having been created this year. So the first thing that's helping consumption is income. That more people working, salaries and wages. But the driver for consumption is not just these 2 million people getting jobs. What's really going on is that people were used to consuming, partly because the pent-up demand after COVID, their transfer payments, their higher savings. So now people are faced with a big surge in inflation, and inflation in stuff that you need, energy and food. So how are consumers, how are households still consuming and despite this high inflation? Well, the things that I'm looking at are sort of what I would regard as late cycle behavior, meaning that it cannot be sustained, and it's typical of what happens late in a business cycle. First thing I'd say is credit cards. We saw the U.S. consumer credit report this week for April. And what we now know is that both in March and April, the 2 months together, American consumers used their credit cards by a record amount. They picked up $44 billion in revolving debt. That's your credit cards. And remember that a lot of people don't have the luxury of paying it off every month. And you're looking at over 20% yield on credit cards, the interest rate that you're paying on that debt carrying it. The second thing that Americans have done is they've gone into savings. One measure of savings in the U.S. is at its lowest level since 2008. And the third way that consumers are fueling their consumption is by monetizing the increase in the house prices. For example, house prices are up over 20% over the past year. So how does somebody get access to that newfound wealth? Well, what a lot of Americans are doing, and a record number of Americans at that, is they're refinancing their houses and taking equity out, equity withdrawal from refinancing. So besides jobs, consumers, households are borrowing from the past, that's their house prices, or they're borrowing from the future, that's the credit cards and the savings that they're drawing down. And so to me, these are late cycle developments. And sure, they might continue another month or two, but you have to imagine that there's a bottom to savings. There's only so much that people are willing to put on their credit cards, and the home equity withdrawals is a limited game. So I am concerned the U.S. consumer. I am concerned that we're going to get another weak quarter. I was looking for something closer to 2% here in Q2, thinking that a trade is not going to be as much of a drag as it was. And it subtracted almost three percentage points from GDP in Q1. So I think that that's going to come back for us. Inventories looks mixed right now. And so a lot of it's going to rest, again, on consumers. And we're going to get that retail sales number next week.
Does not sound like a very good environment out there right now. But look, the consumer somehow is still staying very active in the market. Let's, again, focus on some of the market reaction here because, Mark, really the only markets or sectors that I am seeing are up right now is the U.S. dollar. That's making a strong move now above 104. And gold, precious metals. Gold and silver are doing okay today. Gold especially. Even the gold stocks are doing well. Again, that's the only green I am seeing on my screen right now. Is this a noteworthy development in your eyes, or might this just be kind of a one-day pop because of simply this higher inflation that might get faded if these markets keep correcting?
No, I think that this is pretty much in line with what a lot of people argued, right? We had the big sell-off in stocks. We had a bounce. And a lot of people, I saw this in the retail money coming into the stock market, a lot of ETFs being sort of attracting retail money. But the issue is this, for me, the issue is the bounce that we've seen, say, second half of May or so, was that bounce the bottom, or was that a bear market bounce? And it's looking increasingly like a bear market bounce. But I think that for a lot of your listeners, I think that who might be having some dollar cost averaging strategies, whether it's through their retirement plan where money gets taken out of their paycheck every week, or some kind of dollar cost averaging investment program separate from retirement money, that if this is in a weak market, you do not want to like give up. It's a disciplined approach, and the dollar cost averaging requires you to buy weak assets, weak prices, because they help neutralize or average in when you paid high prices for it over the past year or two. So my suggestion would be, as much as it might hurt, to do it and to look at the stocks and see them falling and still be committed to dollar cost averaging type strategies. Those strategies require you to really maximize those strategies. You have to buy in these kind of markets.
All right, Mark, interesting comments. What's most interesting again today is this inflation data and the market reaction on the back of that. And now, in a way, the market acceptance that the Fed is going to keep hiking rates with pricing in a September hike and even looking further out than that. It's an interesting way to end this week. And it further drives home the fact that inflation is high and now consumers are starting to feel it. Mark, thank you, as always, for your time. As I mentioned, I will be posting a link to your blog, Mark to Market, and we'll be chatting again in the coming weeks. So, Mark, have a great rest of your weekend, and thanks again for your time today.
Thanks, guys. Good luck to everybody.